Let's take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. I've entitled the message tonight, the phrase that you're going to see in verse 13. Let's read verses 12 to 17 of Exodus 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, and then here's the title of the message, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. He goes on to say, For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on a seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Wesleyan Methodist publication of some sort had this little quote in it. Our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers, the Sabbath. Our fathers, Sunday, but today we call it the weekend. I think you can see how the Lord's Day has fallen in being remembered as the Lord is instructing the children of Israel here. Let's get the context. The instructions concerning the construction, the instructions for the construction of the tabernacle are complete. God has just told Moses that he's going to anoint with his Holy Spirit certain men to help with the construction of the tabernacle. So the vision for the tabernacle construction was given to Moses. The execution of the tabernacle construction was given to the people. Now, why would God follow that with something about the Sabbath? I believe, and I've read many commentators who say the same thing, that now that the construction is to begin, you're eager to get it going. And let's get this done. Let's move on this. God's given us something to do. And he will excuse us if we do it even on the Sabbath, right? And so right here, you've got another reminder. The Sabbath is not to be violated. Even for something like that. Yes, even work on God's own tabernacle was to be suspended on the Sabbath. And so as we look at this passage tonight, I see at least, and I say at least because there's more, but I see at least three reasons given for the observance of the Sabbath to the children of Israel. And I trust that this will be a challenge to us, because I'll say right up front that people say, well, this is Old Testament, this doesn't apply to us. We meet on Sundays, this is talking about Saturdays, therefore it's totally different, nothing here applies to us. Well, let's be careful about that. And let's observe some things ourselves tonight as we go through this. The first thing I want you to see, the first reason given for the Sabbath is, what I'm going to say is, what it is between us. What the Sabbath is between us. Now, for you to understand what I'm saying, go to verse 13 again. It is a sign between me and you. So what it is between God and the children of Israel. And what is it? He says, it is a sign between me and you. It is a sign. This is the first time that the Sabbath is mentioned as a sign. And by the way, it says it is a sign. Not it shall be a sign. It is a sign. And in verse 17, God references creation. Now, there's other things mentioned prior to this chapter and verse in Exodus. There's other things mentioned prior to this as signs. In fact, you go back to the very first chapter of the Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And let's remember what else God said was a sign. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 is the first mention of a sign. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So the luminaries at creation were signs to distinguish the seasons. Are those still signs? Is that still operable? Yes. The second mention is found in Genesis chapter 9. Follow me to Genesis chapter 9, please. And I think you're going to remember this, although it doesn't use, the King James doesn't use the word sign. It's the same Hebrew word, but it's translated with a different word. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 12, God has just flooded the earth, and now he's giving to Noah and his family a promise. And he says in verse 12, and God said, this is the token. That word token is the word sign, same word that you see in Exodus 31. This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. And then you go down to verse 17 and it's mentioned again. This is the sign. This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Interesting how that God says this is a token between me and you. And he tells Moses and to the children of Israel, this is a sign between me and you. This is a sign. Is this still a token or a sign today? Every time, Colorado has some of the most beautiful rainbows. And they're double and sometimes triple as I look to the east. Vibrant, just vibrant colors. That is, every time I see that, I think of the fact that God has promised. That's his sign. Now, others have taken that and have perverted it. The Sodomites have perverted it as one of something. Now, it's their sign. It has never been a sign of deviancy. It's always been a sign of God's covenant with us that he would not destroy the world with a worldwide flood again. Two things about this sign. Number one, or if you like to keep an outline, letter A, the persons of the sign. And I say that because the sign is between me and you, God says. If you go back to the Ten Commandments, found in what chapter? Exodus chapter? Quick. 20, good. You go back to Exodus chapter 20, you find the Ten Commandments. The fourth one listed is that concerning the Sabbath. And you know this, we've dealt with this. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six of our relationship with other people. Of the ten, only two are not stated in the negative. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Only two are not stated in the negative. This is one of them, where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that one's between us and God. There's another one that's not stated in a negative. It's stated in a positive. It's between relationships between people. What would that one be? Honor thy father and thy mother. This was stated in a positive. It doesn't say thou shalt not disobey. It says honor thy father and thy mother. And so remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's the last of the Ten Commandments that have to do with our relationship with God. The command to set this day apart was actually given before any other law. In fact, it was given before the Ten Commandments. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 16 and notice that even before the law was given, the Sabbath day was to be observed, and God made this very clear. Exodus chapter 16, verses 23 and following, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on a seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it goes on to verse 29 talking about how somebody violated this right away and violated the Sabbath day. So the command was given before the law was ever given. Two things are mentioned here in Exodus 31, verse 17, that the Sabbath provides. Two things. And on the seventh day, speaking of God, God what and what? God rested, and God was refreshed. I want to talk about those two things under the persons of the sign. Let's talk about rest. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbath. It's one of the few words we have in English that is literally transliterated from the Hebrew. So if you know the word Shabbath or Shabbath, you're speaking Hebrew. If you take that word Shabbath and reverse the vowel pointings and remove what is called the dogish lene from the baith, you now have Shavath. And Shavath is the Hebrew word for rest. So the word Shabbath and Shavath are very closely related. The day Sabbath was given to man for rest. Notice what God says here: on the seventh day, he rested. God rested. If you look up the word Sabbath in the American Heritage Dictionary, it shows it as derived from the Hebrew word for rest. Go to Leviticus chapter 23 with me, please, and let me read to you as you follow along, verse 3. Leviticus 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Here you've got the rest of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Have you ever heard of a term called sabbatical? A sabbatical, according to the dictionary, as an academic term, is, quote, a leave of absence, often with pay, usually granted every seventh year, as to a college professor, for travel, research, or rest. Many pastors get sabbaticals, and I vote for that. But that it's given, it's typically a sabbatical. What is it? A sabbatical is rest. That's what it's called. From the beginning, the Sabbath day has been associated with rest. The reason is given in chapter 20. So go back to chapter 20 of Exodus and note verse 11. The Bible, the Old Testament talks a lot about the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God was refreshed on the seventh day. Now I'm going to talk about refreshment in just a moment because that's kind of interesting. God was refreshed. God was refreshed. Well, we see that he rested. Let's just deal with that to start with. But the fact that God was refreshed, if he needed refreshing, what about you? God was refreshed on the seventh day. God's character included Sabbath rest. I'm quoting somebody here, and I didn't write down who. We are made in his image. Doctors say we must alternate between rest and labor, but the body expends more oxygen in a day of toil than the body can recover in a night of rest. So 1 day of rest in seven is prescribed. In the French Revolution and under Soviet communism, they tried a 10-day week. Failed health resulted. Folks, the seven-day week has no basis outside of Scripture. I read this in my boys' old homeschool books. They had one called Heritage Studies, and in it, they had quoted advice to gold seekers. Quote, never travel on the Sabbath. We will guarantee that if you lay by on the Sabbath and rest your teams, that you will get to California 20 days sooner than those who travel 7 days a week. This is from the Immigrant's Guide to California, a pamphlet for gold seekers traveling to California in 1849. We will guarantee you that if you don't travel on the Sabbath, you will get there 20 days earlier. But we think we can get so much more done. And we end up killing ourselves. I've told you this story. I know I've told you this story, that when I was a college senior and I went back to Nebraska for the summer looking for a job, finally found a job with a guy there. He said, well, I'm going to be cutting wheat in Colorado down by Lamar. If you're willing to work for me, I said, I'm willing to work for you on one condition. I absolutely will not work on Sunday. And I was looking for a job. I was hurting for a job. I had to get back to Bob Jones that fall. I needed a couple of $1,000. This is back in 1980. He said, okay, I'll hire you. This guy claimed to be a Christian. We got to Lamar, and we had been cutting wheat all week, and we came into town for lunch at a Burger King, and I thought, you know, where am I going to go to church this Sunday? So I went into this Burger King, and there was this young lady who was serving me, and she had a Pillsbury Baptist Bible College shirt on. I said, where do you go to church? Are you from the, yeah, I'm here. Where do you go to church? She said, well, I go to, what was the name of the church? Calvary Baptist Church in Lamar. That's where Brad and Kayleen come from. And so that Sunday, that Saturday night, he said, okay, guys, 4:30 in the morning, on to work. I said, not me. He got mad. I said, we made the agreement. I will not work on Sunday. I refused. I slept in till like 7, 8 o'clock. Got up, took my time, took a shower, walked to Calvary Baptist Church, had my suit, and I walked in, enjoyed the services that morning, and there was this couple there who invited me to their house for lunch, Greg and Teresa, who know the Pierces very well. And he had just come there as youth pastor, and I went to their home. Oh, I enjoyed it. We had such a good time just there in their home. And then I went back to the hotel, slept all Sunday afternoon, got up, went to church that night. Man, Monday morning, I was ready to go. I really was. I was ready to go. And I got to talking to one of the guys. He said, what'd you do yesterday? I said, I went to church and I slept. He said, where'd you go to church? I told him, he said, can I come with you this Sunday? Well, he couldn't because he had made the agreement with the guy. But he wanted to come. They opened an opportunity for me to witness to this man. But the point is this. I was so well rested that week I outdid those guys. I would stay on the combine. I was working from morning till night. It helped me. God has designed rest for, and here's the second thing, refreshment. Now the word refreshment that you see here in chapter 31 and verse 17, the word refreshment is the Hebrew word, and I'm giving you these Hebrew words because they're related to another word that helps us understand it. Nafash. Nafash. Go back to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12 again. No, we haven't even been there. I said again, but this is the first time we're turning to it. Exodus 23, 12. Here's another reference to the Sabbath. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Now notice what it says here. That thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be what? That, you know what? That even your animals might be refreshed. So it's not just that God was refreshed on the seventh day. It's that he has given this to man so that he and even his animals can be refreshed. And so that passage in 23:12 and here again in 31:17 are two of the three times that verb is used in the Old Testament. The theological word book of the Old Testament says that nafash, the original concrete meaning of the word, was probably, ready? To breathe. To breathe. And God breathed. He was refreshed. Exodus 23:12. Let your animals breathe. You, your strangers, let them breathe. It's a day of refreshment. You know, as I even present this tonight, we look at the Sabbath, Sunday, I've got so much to do. Folks, God has given this to you. He says in Mark that God, the Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. And God has given it to us for refreshment. So this Hebrew word for refresh, nafash, is closely related to another word. Now, we'll keep the consonants the same. Nafash, you hear the vowels in there, but let's just keep the consonants the same, but we'll change what they call the vowel pointings so that it's now pronounced nefesh. So you've got nafash, which has to do with refreshment. What is nefesh? Does anybody know? Nefesh is soul. Now listen, folks. Now you have the Hebrew word for soul that's related to the Hebrew word for breath, refreshment. Here's the point that I think we need to make. Refreshment is not just for your body. It's literally for your soul. If you're a dichotomist, you say that there's a body and a soul. If you're a trichotomist, as I am, you say there's body, soul, and spirit, but the soul and spirit are closely related, but you've got body, soul, and spirit, and it's not just the body that needs refreshing, folks. What else needs refreshing? That's where the refreshment, it's just rest for the body, but the refreshing also is for the soul. You see, man is more than just a body. You're more than just flesh and blood. You also have a spirit. You have a soul. If the body is not really, refreshed if the soul or the spirit isn't. You know that. Somebody once said, we have fat, well-rested bodies, but famished, worn-out souls. And then we wonder why our well-rested bodies don't feel rested. You have a body, but the very life of your body, the soul, needs to be refreshed. You see people just dragging all, oh. What'd you do yesterday on Sunday? Well, you know, I had the afternoon off, so, you know, I went out and mowed my lawn. As a pastor, I have to work. I've got to get things done. But rest. Why is it that people can go on vacation for a break and come back tired? They're not really refreshed. Why is it that people take a day off to do what they want but are still tired? They're not really refreshed. Again, when I worked for this guy, Sunday, my focus was on the Lord. I'm going to church. And so it wasn't just my body that got rest that day, folks. My soul was revived. I heard preaching and teaching and fellowship with other believers. And there was this reviving that took place on the Lord's day. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. So folks, the idea of the Sabbath is not a burden. It's a time of refreshment. When you think of the word labor, you associate that with a curse. That's what man was confined to do due to sin. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about enjoying labor, but you will find that it becomes a curse when that's all you do. The Sabbath is a weekly reminder that this earth is not the end of all things. Think of that. What is heaven noted as being? It's that eternal. We laid him down to rest. Well, yeah, the body's resting, but where's the soul? Eternal rest. So the Sabbath is a reminder that we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. Not just the presence of sin, but even the pressures of sin. So when you think of the Sabbath in that way, how can you say that it is a burden? God made the Sabbath for man. He did not make man for the Sabbath. That's Mark 2:27. So, rest and refreshment. These things all under the persons of the sign. Now I want to get to the period of the sign. And this is noted in the words that you'll see in both verses 13 and 16. It says, throughout your generations. Throughout your generations. Therefore, there's no expiration throughout their generations. As we now know, in that dispensation. Of all the Ten Commandments, listen to this, only the Sabbath was not repeated after the day of Pentecost. Only the Sabbath. Why? Because to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, believers met on the first day of the week rather than the last day of the week. Now the week, we celebrate the beginning of the week, not the end. This is the day that Christ arose. This is the new beginning. So in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, you see that the believers meet on a Sunday. That's when Eutychus fell out of the window because he fell asleep when Paul was preaching. 1 Corinthians 16:2. The instructions that on a first day of the week you come together so that you have no gatherings of money and that you give that which belongs to the Lord on the first day of the week. But the principle of rest still applies. Remember, Sabbath has nothing to do with seventh day. What does Sabbath mean? Rest. It doesn't have anything to do with seven. It means rest. Instead, it has to do with stopping, ceasing. The Sabbath day is a day of cessation, pure and simple. In the Old Testament, it fell upon the seventh day. For the New Testament Christian, the Sabbath is the first day. That is that day of rest or cessation. It's a day that is to be different. And yet there are those who don't make that day different. On the Sabbath day, before the day of Pentecost, where would you find Jesus Christ on the Sabbath? You'd find him in the synagogues. It was his, according to Luke 4:16, it was his custom. It was his habit. Voltaire, who lived in the 18th century, said, "I can never hope to destroy Christianity until I first destroy the Christian Sabbath." Gladstone, Prime Minister of Great Britain in the 19th century, he said this, "Tell me what the young men of England are doing on Sunday, and I will tell you what the future of England will be." I'm thankful for parents who instilled in me the habit of being in church. My brother Delmer was telling me once about what my grandfather did, Brandon's great-grandfather, Ed Unruh. He was in his last days. He could hardly breathe. This is in 1991. He could not go to church. And you never went to church and my grandfather was not there. He was always there. But he would still polish his shoes Saturday night and go to bed early. Sunday morning he would get up, shave and shower, put on his best suit and tie, go to the living room, sit down in the chair, turn on the radio, and listen to the message broadcast by his church live. And my grandmother questioned him, "Why did you get dressed? Nobody's going to see you." He said, "I'm not doing this for any man." And now you can see somewhat of how I grew up. When the Lord's Day was to be respected, the Lord's Day is his day, it's not yours. And that is gradually fading away. You will rarely find Christian parents. I have rarely found Christian parents who, if they did not remember the Lord's Day each week, you rarely find that they have children living for the Lord. There's a connection there. Because God is telling Moses, remember the Sabbath. You remember it. I was reading an article 16 years ago. because I cut articles out. This was in the Greeley Tribune, November 29th of 2003, and it's entitled Sunday Showdown, Sports versus Church. And in the article, it's talking about how that now they're scheduling sports activities on Sundays. It's not uncommon to see youngsters in the pews dressed in soccer or football uniforms ready to be whisked off to the field as soon as the last organ note fades. That's how the article concludes. Folks, you want to know why our country is going down the tubes the way? This is just a reflection of what's happening. It just reflects it. I want to draw your attention to something that ties in with this morning. Where in the Old Testament, I've said this, but you may not have picked it up, where in the Old Testament, in fact, where in the book of Psalms, does it talk about the stone which was refused? Does anybody happen to remember where that is? Psalm 118, let's go to it. Psalm 118. You're thinking, where are you going with this? I thought we were talking about the Sabbath. Well, just kind of hold on here. Psalm 118, verses 21 to 24. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, people take verse 24 and say, you know, if you're having a bad day, like on a Wednesday, they say, oh, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. If you're down in the mouth on Monday, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But did you know that it's really not referring to just any day of the week? Did you know that when he says this is the day which the Lord hath made, you know what day it's actually referring to? What day of the week? It's not referring to Saturday, it's referring to Sunday. You see, how do you know that? Well, you're in Psalm 118. Let's go to the passage we preached from this morning, Acts chapter 4, and notice what we even read this morning, and let's put two and two together here. Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin in chapter 4 and verse 10, and he says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. What day was that? Sunday. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So Peter is indicating that this special day prophesied in Psalm 118 is the day on which Jesus the Messiah was raised from the dead, which all four Gospels tell us was the first day of the week. I'm going to quote from somebody who wrote on this. He said, this day of Christ's victory over sin and death is one in which Christians should rejoice in a special way, different from the other 6 days of the week. This special set-apart day is specifically designated as the Lord's Day. The testimony of early church leaders, including some friends of the Apostle John, confirmed that the first day was called the Lord's Day. For example, Ignatius, a companion of John, said, let us no more sabbatize, but let us keep the Lord's day on which our life arose. Likewise, Irenaeus, a disciple of Polycarp, who was a friend of John, said, on the Lord's day, every one of us Christians keep the Sabbath, meditating on the law and rejoicing in the works of God. Since John's friends referred to the first day of the week as the Lord's day, there is no doubt to what John was referring to in Revelation 1:10 when he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So well was the Christian observance of the Lord's Day known in the first centuries that pagan officials would ask, do you keep the Lord's Day, as being equivalent to the question, are you a Christian? So it is clear, he concludes in this article, that for a Christian, the first day of the week should be a special day set apart for him because it is a day especially belonging to him. And so there, folks, we have seen that the Sabbath is a sign. It is what is between us, between the children of Israel and God. It is a sign. That's the first reason given for the observance of the Sabbath. You said, Pastor, you said three. That's right. And I only have 8 minutes to get through the last two. So we've got to move. Here's the second reason. It's found in verse 13 as well. And it's the theme of the book of Exodus. What do you think it is? Look at the last part of verse 13. That ye may know that I am the Lord. That ye may know that I am the Lord. Again, the theme of Exodus is being driven home. That ye may know that I am the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day that you might know that I am the Lord. God wants Israel and all the world to know that he is the Lord. One way for people to be reminded of this is one day out of the week, it is set aside as the Lord's day. Goes on to say, that doth sanctify you. This is one way in which God would sanctify his people. What does sanctify mean? It means to set somebody apart. How would God set his people apart from all of the other nations surrounding them? These people, one day a week, are sitting and resting. What are they, weird? No, the sign was not just to Israel, it was to the surrounding nations. That ye may know. And then we get to the third reason. You see how fast we went on the second one? Here's the third one. What it is unto you. What it is between us, it's a sign. What it is unto you is stated in verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is what unto you? It is holy unto you. Stated negatively in verse 14, the fact that this day is holy means that it should not be treated as something common or profane or just ordinary. This day is different. What do we call Wednesday? Hump day. You got this, what do you call Friday? Everybody's excited about Friday. Yeah, you know, Saturday. Sunday special. We don't have time to read it, but there's the keeping of the Sabbath or not keeping of the Sabbath was an indication of the spiritual condition of the people of God. You'll read about this in Jeremiah 17, verses 19 to 27, if you're keeping notes. Jeremiah 17, 19 to 27, and also Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 to 24. So the negative is stated first. What it is unto you, it is holy. And whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Then it is stated positively in verse 15, 6 days may work be done. You've got 6 days to do your work. Oh, you'll never succeed in business if you only work 6 days. Just ask Chick-fil-A. You'll never succeed. They've proved that wrong. Verily or surely, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. And it's in the plural, Sabbaths. In other words, keep each one. Be consistent. Here's another article I cut out. 2007. Here's this young man. He's a Christian young man. His name is Elliot Huck. At the time, he was 14 years old. And people were comparing him to Eric Liddell, or Little is what they called him, Eric Little. The man, the Olympic runner who refused to compete on Sundays, whose story is told in the movie Chariots of Fire. And here's this young man who was in the championship spelling bee. And he found out they were scheduling it for Sunday. Okay, here's a guy, 14 years old. His parents didn't talk him into this. This young man at 14 years of age, on his own, decided he would not compete. Quote, if I make exceptions to following God's rule, even if it is only once, there will be more exceptions that will follow. this guy is so wise beyond his years. If I make an exception now, there's going to be more that are going to have to follow. If I give in to these people, they're going to demand more exceptions. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said this: the Jews, by observing one day in seven after 6 days' labor, testified and declared that they worshipped the God who made the world in 6 days and rested the seventh, and so distinguished themselves from other nations, who, having first lost the Sabbath, which was instituted to be a memorial of the creation, by degrees lost the knowledge of the Creator and gave that honor to the creature, which was due to Him alone. And they begin to honor the creature more than the Creator. God wants us to remember He is the Creator. And He gave us the seventh day in the Old Testament as rest. Our Christian forefathers made that on Sunday. Actually, there's one more reason that is really just found in one statement as to the reason God has given us the Sabbath. And it's found in verse 17, and it's this: God's own example. God's own example. So, in the New Testament, Jesus makes it very clear to the Pharisees that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man, and therefore, if your donkey or if your ox falls into a pit on the Sabbath, what do you do? Your donkey fell into the pit. What are you going to do? You don't do any work on the Sabbath. And Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees because He was healing on the Sabbath. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath. You should. See, they took this to where, you know, you couldn't move, you couldn't do anything. No, no, no. The Sabbath was not. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man. It's for you. If your donkey falls into a ditch on a Sunday now, pull him out of the ditch. Get him out of the ditch. And so now, you know what Christians say? How they miss Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? My donkey was in the ditch. You got something wrong with your dumb donkey then. Either shoot it or get rid of it. If he's always falling in a pit on a Sunday, what's the problem with your donkey? If it's your ox, shoot it and eat it. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. God has given this day for us to rest, to be refreshed. If I get a good nap on a Sunday, the rest of the week, it's just so much better. And I've advocated before to you folks saying, get a nap on Sundays. You won't fall asleep in church on Sunday night if you do. And get to bed early Saturday night. Hopefully you won't fall asleep in church on Sunday morning. Isn't this great? God wants you to get rest. Why do we treat this as legalism? God wants you to get rest. Worst thing I heard from my parents on Sunday afternoon is you need to go take a nap. Ugh. That's like being assigned to something to a little kid. Right, Lucas? If you have to take a nap on Sunday, that's just the most horrible thing. And then we were in a church in Columbus, Nebraska, where, you know, we'd go visit our friends. They'd have us over for lunch on a Sunday. And there was one family I hated to go to because they all took naps. But I tell you, I came to church on Sunday nights. I was so wide awake. My mind was functioning the best. And I got something out of the messages on Sunday nights, when typically I was so tired from running around and doing things when I visited other people. It's for your good. God made the Sabbath for you. Shabbat, rest, He made that for you.